Brethren, I want to just start by getting us thinking about a question. Do you ever wonder why people are so fascinated with professional sports? I mean, if you think about it, what's one of the most profitable businesses in the country? What's one of the most profitable shows? It's the Super Bowl, right? Professional sports. People are drawn to it. How many of you are sports fans? A lot. Do you ever wonder why you spend so... I mean, it frustrates me because no matter what the Browns are doing, I watch them, and I've been disappointed a lot, and I say, why did I spend my time Sunday watching this? I could have been doing other things, but then I keep doing it. How about the Olympics? Did anybody watch the Olympics? What sports did you guys watch in the Olympics? What?
Biathlon,
skiing, figure skating. Is anybody figure skaters? No? Skiers, maybe? Why are you watching it? You don't know. We don't know, huh? But we do. We're drawn to it. We're drawn to that. How about anybody like art? Just any art?
Particularly music.
Music? Right? The type of music you listen to most?
Well, I like a lot of things, but Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin? Where is Led Zeppelin in terms of, like, talent? Good. I think the drummer for Led Zeppelin is considered maybe, if you're a Rush fan, you're not, forgive me, but the drummer for Led Zeppelin is, you know, there's arguments to be made that he's probably one of the greatest drummers of all time. Right? I mean, what is the most exciting play you can think of in football? Instantly, I think of the Immaculate Reception, right? Or maybe that catch that, what's his name, made, the one-handed catch. Beckham, yeah. You know, that made him famous, that catch. Just that catch. Right now, I'm probably, my kids are sick of it, my wife's sick of it. Everybody's sick of it, but I'm really into wrestling right now. And, you know, what do I spend most of my time watching at home? That's my entertainment. I'm drawn to it, but not just any wrestlers. I click around. I've got the ones I like, and you know what? They're the best. You see where I'm going with this? We are drawn just naturally. We're naturally drawn to when we see things like in the Olympics. I never watched figures. I'm not a figure skater, but I'll watch it because we're seeing people that have developed a skill to a level of excellence that nobody else has achieved, or very few people have achieved. You know, the great play, the Michael Jordan. We watch Michael Jordan. Why? Because he was average? Because he was the greatest, right? And we knew that there was some appreciation there to watch someone who had developed their skills to a certain degree where it was like, this is amazing. This is fun to watch. That you don't see this every day. We're drawn to excellence, aren't we? I think everyone, whether it be in sports, whether it be in music, whether it be in art, no matter what it is, you can all, I think every one of us can think of an example of when we personally have been attracted to something that was very special. So, is that something that we as Christians should be striving for? And do you ever think of yourself and as your goals in life of trying to achieve excellence? Or is that just something for a rare few number of people that really set their goal for it? Would you consider anything you do as achieving a level of excellence that stands out apart from others? If not, why not? Why limit yourself? Turn with me to 2 Peter, because there's some interesting scriptures here about what God expects of us. And just taking a step back and thinking of our calling, thinking of who's calling us and what He's calling us for. How serious are we taking the opportunity that God has given us by putting us in this body, putting us in this world, putting us in this life? And it is an opportunity, brethren. Sometimes I think we just showed up in the randomness of time and we're here. We don't realize that we were made. And we were put here for a reason. There is a purpose for every one of us. It's a vision that God has. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Here, I don't know why I didn't put verse 1 in my notes. I'm going to just turn there real quickly. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'll just start reading here in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that are obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So that was the greeting that he had in his letter here. Now, according to his divine power, think about that. According to his divine power, God, the creator of the universe, has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He's given that to us. All things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory. God has called you to glory. And virtue. Virtue is righteousness, goodness. Two different things. We're called to goodness, righteousness, but also to glory. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. This is special stuff. This isn't average. Exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity, love. For if these things be in you, if you continue to add these things and to develop these things in you and abound, so this isn't just like, you know, average or C, abounding, striving to be the best, to develop them to the most that you can develop them, brethren, abound in them. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins, forgot what Jesus had done for him. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Make it sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That, brethren, is a scripture that talks about the greatness that God is calling you toward. Something special. First Peter, let's go back to First Peter now, chapter 3. Just want to read this scripture. We'll break into the text in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A lively hope, something that's exciting, to an inheritance. This is our destiny, brethren, why we're here. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. So this life is difficult. There's a lot of challenges in this life, a lot of things that we have to persevere through, trials, that these trials of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes. Why are these trials precious? More precious than gold. Much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And we'll talk a bit more about why those trials that we go through are so precious in a little bit. See, God has set an extremely high bar for His people. I want to read the definition of excellence. Excellence. Excellence means greatness. This is off of a vocabulary.com. Excellence means greatness. The very best. Achieving excellence is never easy to do. Excellence is a quality that people really appreciate because it's so hard to find. It's rare. Excellence is the quality of excelling and being truly the best at something. Truly the best at something. Are you truly the best at something? Can you be? Can you become the best at something? I'm not saying what it is. It could be different for everyone. Are you striving to? Are you striving to find something that you can personally do that you can be the best at, that you can achieve excellence at? God has set a high bar for each and every one of us, brethren. Look over here in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. He doesn't want us to settle. He doesn't want us to just go through life, react to life, and be mediocre. Jesus is a very demanding leader. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Verse 17. Matthew 5, 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. You know, for all of you who think that the Old Testament's done away, that you don't have to keep the Ten Commandments or the laws and the prophets, take it up with Jesus, because this is red letter. This is His words. Not my words, His words. You follow Jesus, then do you listen to Him? Do you believe Him? Jesus says it's one thing to believe in Him, it's a whole different thing to believe Him. Here He says right here, think not that I am come to destroy the law. He didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets. Jesus, quote, I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. To show you how it's done, basically, is what He's saying. For truly I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, and last time I looked, I guess there's still a heaven and earth here, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever that therefore shall break one of the least commandments. Talk about a high bar. Break one of the least commandments. And shall teach men so. For all of you that are teaching people that they don't have to keep the commandments, this is speaking to you. Whosoever shall teach or break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of scribes and Pharisees. Now think about this, brethren. We look at the scribes and Pharisees very differently than the people that lived during Jesus' time looked at them. I don't know if you ever take a step back and really think about that. Who were the scribes and Pharisees? They were the people that everybody looked up to. They were the ones that you wanted to invite over to dinner. They were the ones that people thought were righteous. Oh, that guy, he's such a great guy. I'll follow him anywhere. Look at him. He's giving to charity. He knows the Bible. He's you know, living a good life. He's setting such a great example for my kids. Doing everything just right. They were highly respected, revered. And Jesus is telling the people here, telling us, that our righteousness has to exceed theirs. It had to be special. It had to be exceptional. That except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:48, drop down a little bit. Be ye therefore, in this word, I think says it all. Be ye therefore perfect. Now, is any one of us perfect? Jesus says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but he still tells us to strive for it. Be ye therefore perfect or complete, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Be like God the Father. Is God exceptional? Do you think God is the best at something? This is a high bar, brethren. This is what God is calling us to do. Why is that? Well, God is very pragmatic. Do you ever wonder what your job is going to be in the millennium? I've heard this expression. Hey, you know, I just want to be the least in the kingdom of heaven as long as I'm there. Do you think God's proud of that? Do you think that pleases God when you say that? Okay, let's do a little experiment. My kid comes up to me and says, hey, Dad, when I grow up, I just want to squeak by. Good job! That's what I want for my kids. Aren't we God's children? Do you think God wants us to squeak by? Just barely make it into the kingdom? Is that going to please him? After the scriptures we just read, be ye perfect, like your Father in heaven. Isaiah chapter 64. I love going to the scripture. You can turn there if you want. I'm just going to read it. Isaiah chapter 64 always reminds me that everything that we go through in life has a purpose. Every experience has a purpose, as long as we recognize it as something through which we can learn and grow and develop. You know, I said I've been into wrestling. I've been looking at all these coaches about wrestling mindset. You know, there's this one I'm watching right now. It's called, you know, Wrestling Mindset. Win at wrestling and in life. Right? How to have a mindset of success. And one of the things that I heard is one of the coaches of somewhere, I think it's in Nebraska or something. I'm trying to remember where it is. I don't remember. But it's one of the top programs in the country. And he was talking about a quote. He says, whatever happens to you builds you. So that's the mindset you want. Whatever happens to you builds you. Think about that. Now, he's not saying good or bad, easy or difficult. Because he also says, this coach also says, what will be, will be. You know, don't stress about it. do your best. You can't control every outcome. All you can control is what you do, what you choose to do, your effort, your attitude. Focus on what you can control. Things will happen to you. But he says, whatever happens to you builds you. Look over here in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing. We're not perfect. We're not there. We're not where we need to be. And all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. And I read this in comparison to God, right? And we all do fade as a leaf. We're mortal. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. This is something, the brethren, that should keep us grounded, humble. And there is none that calls upon your name that stirs up himself to take hold of you. For you have hid your face from us and has consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, you are potter, and we are all the work of your hand. We're the work of God's hands. He created us. He gave us this life. He put us here for a reason. He's molding us and shaping us. He's trying to develop us into something great. We're in a process, brethren. And all the experiences that we're going through build us, depending on how we respond to it. How we respond to it. So, we're heading into the Passover season. And we're told in Corinthians by the Apostle Paul that as we go into Passover, that we're to examine ourselves. We're going to take a look at our lives and see, are we on the right path? Are we striving to meet the expectations that God has for us? Are we trying to make God proud? Are we settling? Or are we striving for excellence in our life? Now, God gives us, brethren, talents. I ask a question. What job are you going to have in the millennium? Well, I have an answer for you. Whatever job you're capable of doing. What are you capable of doing? Whatever talents you end up developing in this life. If you develop a little bit of talent in this life, you're going to have a little job in the millennium in the kingdom of God. If you develop a lot of talent in this life based on what gives you or God gives you, you'll have a big job, a great job. God's very pragmatic. Do you think there's going to be any work that's got to get done in the millennium? Is there going to be a need for talented people, talented leaders? What work is going to need to be done if you think about the millennium? What the world's going to go through? What it's coming out of? Is there going to be a need for people that know how to heal? Is there going to be a need for doctors and nurses, medicine? Sure. How about rebuilding things? There's going to be a need, people that know how to build. And they're going to be good at it. How about communication? Is there going to be a need for people that are very skilled communicators in the millennium? God says that people are going to learn His ways. Who's going to teach them? How about teachers? How about psychology? People are going to have a lot of issues coming out of the millennium, aren't they? Maybe they're just going to need someone to talk to that understands psychology. Are you good at that? If you are, and you have a little bit of a talent for it, are you developing it to the maximum ability that God's given you? Health and wellness. Are people healthy today in this culture? You think there's a need in millennium for people to learn how to truly be healthy? Sure. Agriculture, science and technology. Try to imagine what the millennium is going to be like. How about laughter? Maybe your talent is making people laugh. Is there going to be a need for laughter in the millennium? I can't imagine the millennium without laughter. There's no talent that's more important or less important than another talent, brethren. All of them combined are going to make for a wonderful, awesome world. Look over here in Ephesians chapter 4. Because God says that He gives everybody a talent. We might not know what our talent is. And there's another thing I'm going to talk about, how we might be able to figure that out. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the job or the career or the path, the vocation wherewith you are called. I think the first thing that we have to realize as Christians is that we are actually called to a job. That's what vocation is. It's a job. It's a career. We're being called to a certain career. Kings and priests, it says in Revelation. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. We're given some grace, brethren. It's a gift. Wherefore, he says, when he ascends up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first unto the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Speaking of Jesus. And he gave some, so speaking of these gifts or these talents, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And the implication, brethren, is all these different gifts. Paul's saying that everyone has a different gift. We're not all the same. We're unique. But one gift isn't more important than another. He's saying we were all given gifts. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, striving for perfection, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That, brethren, is a high bar. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby we lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up. So there's a maturing, talking about this process, being molded and shaped, being that clay. We're to mature, we're to grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, all of these people with all these different talents, the whole body, think about in the millennium, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies according to the effectual or very valuable, that's efficacious. That all of these things work for the good. They actually have impact. The effectual working in the measure of every part. So it's useful. If you're a comedian and you develop it to the best of your ability, that will be useful in the kingdom. If you're a good cook and you develop it to the max, maybe you can teach others. That will be useful in the kingdom. If you're a good caretaker, if you're a good listener, whatever it is. God sees the whole picture. He's the master. He's building it. What's your piece going to be in that on that team? In that puzzle? Effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. God wants us, brethren, to develop our talents. He gives us talents. He wants us to develop them to the max. You can read Matthew chapter 25 about the parable of the talents. Let's just turn there very quickly. I think it's very appropriate. I'm sure many of us are aware of it, but I think it's good just to review, especially as we think about our lives and what we're doing to make the best use of our time in this living body. You know, God tells us that we shouldn't take this life for granted because you never know what the future is going to be. Future is not promised to anybody. So we're told to redeem the time. Make use of our time. We never know when we're not going to have any more time. So what are we doing with what God gives us? Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the talents. For the kingdom of heaven, verse 14, is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And he gave one, he gave five talents, to another two, to another one. Just like what we just read. God gives all of us talents, brethren. And it's all unique. We all have different talents and different degrees of talents. Doesn't matter. He's given us talents. And unto one he gave five, the other one, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. So he knows you. He knows what you can do. He's not going to set you up for failure. He's giving you what you can develop. He's giving you something that you can really sink your teeth into based on your ability. You can be successful at it. Then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same. He went to work. He did something. He took them and he made them another five talents. He multiplied his talents, developed them, turned them into something more. Likewise, he that had two, he also gained other two. But he that had received one went and digged it in the earth and hid his Lord's money. He protected it. He kind of stayed in his comfort zone. Stayed on autopilot. He didn't lose it. It didn't wane. He used it. You know, sometimes they say, if you don't use it, you lose it. So he kept the talent. He just didn't develop it. And so he that received five talents came and brought. So it says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came back. He wanted to see what they had accomplished. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, you gave me five, I gained five more. Here they are. And the Lord said unto him, well done, you good and faithful servant. He was proud of them. You have been faithful in a few things. Think about the kingdom and what you're doing with this life, what God gives you. You've been faithful in a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. You're going to have a big job in the kingdom. Enter you into the joy of your Lord. And he that received two came and said, Lord, you deliver unto me two talents. Behold, I've gained you another two beside them. And Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter you into the joy of thy Lord. And he which received one came and said, Lord, I was basically afraid. I was afraid to lose it. You know, brethren, how easy is it for us to talk ourselves out of doing something? Have you ever thought about that? If you want to say, Dave, let's go do this, I can probably come up with 50 reasons why we shouldn't do it. Have you ever had that experience? It's like this part of us. We have this human nature that we have to overcome. We talk ourselves out of doing things. Oh, no, it I'm not going to be able to do that. Or it looks too, I don't want to fail. If I step into that thing, what if I'm not good at it? Oh, what if someone laughs at me? Oh, I don't know. What if he doesn't like me? What if she doesn't? What if she says no? Oh, brother, that's why I never had a date in high school. I never had a girlfriend in, I really never had a girlfriend in high school because I was too afraid to ask her out. Funny thing is, you know, I saw this one girl a long time later, and she's like, how come you never asked me out? Because I was afraid. I'm glad I got the courage to ask Terry out. That changed when I grew up a little bit. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you that you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not strawed. I was afraid. He was afraid of what? He was afraid to lose a talent. And I went and hid it. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Here it is. I saved it for you. I didn't lose it. His Lord answered and said unto him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I sowed not and gathered where I was not strawed. You ought therefore to have at least put my money to the exchangers, that they may be coming, I should have received mine own with usury. I would have wanted to get a profit from this. Take therefore the talent from him. His fear of taking action caused him to lose it. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which has 10. Unto every one that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he receives. And cast you that unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Brethren, God wants us to develop the talents that he gives us. I think it's pretty clear. Pretty clear. But how do we find those talents? But Dave, I don't have any talents. I always think when we go to the feast and they have the fun show. It used to be called the talent show, but they changed the name to the fun show. Because they don't want us to feel bad that we think we don't have any talent, right? I used to think to myself, I don't have any talent. There's nothing. What do I do that's talented? I'm good at Microsoft Excel. Think anybody would want to see me get up there and do pivot charts? Maybe there's someone that would love to see all the ways I could do a pivot chart. Because nobody can do a pivot chart like me, trust me. That's a talent of mine. People at work, I always help them at work. But do you know what your talents are? How do you find out what your talents are? You ever think about that? How do I know? God, what, you've given me talents. What are my talents? Anyone have a guess of how you find out what your talents are? How do you find out what your talents are, Jason? Come here. Is this thing on? Say that again. How do you find out what your talent is?
Start doing a lot of things and see what you're good at.
I did not ask him to say that. Go ahead, sit down. I didn't set it up. What is that saying, out of the mouths of babes? If you want to know what your talent is, brethren, start doing a lot of things. And see what you're good at. I always think it's so funny how every time you come to church, you're all sitting in the same seat. And me too. I'm not pointing fingers. Are we trying new things in our life? Or are we just on the road? I always think of life sometimes as we get on this road and we know this road. It's a comfortable road. We've been on this road a lot. We drive to it, same road, every day to and from work. I take the same road. It's kind of like life, right? We're on this road. And because we know all the little, you know, chuck holes, and we know the turns, and we know the bumps of this road, it's very comfortable for us. So because it's very comfortable, we like to stay on the road. I remember I studying creativity in my work. How can you be more creative? And they described your mind, your thinking is kind of like this road. Our brain likes to stay on the road. Even the way we think, we have the same thoughts over and over. We watch the same news over and over. We watch the same things over and over. We think the same way. So because of that, the only ideas we ever get are the ones that are on the road. And there's these ways that you can help people become more creative by picking them up mentally off the road, setting them way over there, and then they have to find their way back. Right? So you want to brainstorm a new product. You say the word nose. What do you mean nose? Start saying these keywords around nose. Nose. Smell. Oh, smell. Maybe if we added smell to this product, some feedback. Right? So it gets you off the road and you start to think differently. There's a lot to be said for that. I was thinking about this, when I was thinking about the sermon, I was thinking about a movie Michael and I and the family watched the other night. Anyone ever see the movie Forrest Gump? Who has not seen Forrest Gump? Okay, no hand. So I can talk about the movie, so you know what it is. I don't have to give you the synopsis. Did you like the movie? Is it a good movie, Forrest Gump? I thought it was really cool. Do you remember how the movie starts off? There's a little feather. If you haven't watched it, maybe you'll watch it again. The movie Forrest Gump starts off with a little feather just flying through the air, being blown randomly by the wind. It's just floating around. This feather is flying all around during the opening credits. And then the feather, right at the end of opening credits, falls right at Forrest Gump's feet when he's sitting there at the bench. And he starts to tell his story. All right? This feather, just randomly being blown away by the wind, blown around by the wind. It's funny, the movie ends with the feather falling out of the book, going and blowing away again. You ever wonder what that feather represents in that movie? Well, think about the movie Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump is this character who, it's fictional, but I think it's really interesting to think about it. I really like the movie a lot, of what the theme and the moral of this movie is. So he's this person, he doesn't have 150 IQ, he's not a Mensa, right? He's not doesn't have a lot of book smart. But yet, in this movie, he achieves great, great success. Now I've done these sermons before. If you want to be successful, you got to have a plan, you got to focus. And I was taken aback a little bit by this movie because here is Forrest Gump. And his life was kind of like that feather, if you watch the movie. He was just kind of randomly being blown around through life. Different experiences were happening to him. And yet, when he got into certain experiences, remember what Jason said? Different experiences happened to him. And when he got into certain experiences, he embraced them. And he developed his talents that he didn't even know he had, and that led to success. Here's some examples. So, when he was a kid, in the Forrest Gump, he had the braces on his legs. You remember that part of the movie? He had, what is that, polio maybe? Or so, he had a crooked back, so they put braces on his legs in the movie. And there was a scene where he was being bullied. He was going through some trials. Wasn't easy. Difficulties of life. He was being bullied. And his friend says, "Run, Forrest, run." Remember that scene? It's one of the famous lines in the movie. "Run, Forrest, run." He starts running to get away from these bullies, and all of a sudden the braces fall off. And he says, "Wow, I didn't realize I could run. I'm fast." And he was running from bullies again, and he ran through a football stadium in the movie. And then the coaches noticed him. He says, And so I was on the football team and I got to college. He became an All-American in the movie. And then in Vietnam, through another trial in the movie, they got ambushed. And because he could run so fast, he saved a bunch of guys. And in the movie, got awarded a Medal of Honor. So I know it's fictional, but I think it shows this illustration of how these random events happen to this character. And by developing his talent ended up leading to some great success. Shows how he was in, kind of randomly came up to start playing ping pong. And he ended up becoming a ping pong champion and meeting the president. About how he ended up going through the trial of a hurricane in a shrimp boat and was the only shrimp boat left, and that helped him to achieve success. So I thought that was an interesting analogy of here's this guy randomly kind of going through life, but it was how the character embraced those things that happened to him and developed his talents that led to the success. I think that there's something we can learn from that, brethren. It takes courage to try new things. It takes courage to try new things. I don't know if, I mean, I'm up here speaking, and I think this is one of God's miracles, to be honest with you. Because I didn't fail speech class in high school. I got an I. Do you know what an I is? An I is incomplete. See, to fail speech class, you actually have to give a speech. I was so petrified of public speaking that when I went up to give my speech, this is what I did in high school speech class. After about 3 minutes, the teacher said, "Dave, sit down." I didn't get a single word out. I got an I. The teacher was kind. Gave me an incomplete. When I got into the Marines, I had to give like some training. And I was so nervous. I had these tics. I'd make these weird noises, clicks. Do this with my mouth when I was speaking. I was petrified. Petrified. I actually think now, I mean, I actually enjoy it. One of the reasons I think I've been successful in my job is because I have a reputation of being one of the best presenters in terms of communicating. It's amazing to me. It's a miracle that God has helped me overcome that. I see John coming up here giving sermons, doing such a fantastic job, stepping up, starting with sermonettes, others with song leading. I'm just using that as an example. I'm not saying that that's like this great talent. It's just an example that I'm using. Every one of us has our own examples, I hope, of things where maybe we were a little bit nervous, a little bit afraid, and we stepped out, overcame that fear, and went to work and developed a talent, and it's leading to something very good. I hope every one of you could have that. As you reflect and prepare for the Passover and you're thinking about your walk, I hope you can find things. And if you can't, maybe you should start looking, trying some of these new experiences to see what your talents are. King David would pray, Psalm 26, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." How are we examined and proved? Maybe God's going to give us a lot of opportunities to try a lot of new things. One of these things that this wrestling mindset thing said, says one of this guy, this one... psychiatrist, sports psychiatrist said, "Yeah, when I was a kid, we'd go in our wrestling room and our coach put over the clock a saying, said, 'The time is now.' And he said, I got a kick out of that because we go, 'Hey coach, the time is now,' because it's true. The time is now. It's now. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Redeem the time, brethren. The time is now to get working, to get out there, step out and get some new experiences, figure out what your talents are and develop them. I'm so proud, brethren, of some of my family members. My son Jason, he's got this thing where he doesn't ask to do things. He'll watch on YouTube how to make something, he likes to cook. So all of a sudden, I go upstairs during my lunch break, and he's got this, the whole kitchen, everything's out in the kitchen. I'm like, "What are you doing?" He's making this weird thing with ramen noodles. It's like a ramen noodle taco. I'm like, "Where did you learn how to do that?" "Not on YouTube." He's actually made dinner for us. Not that anyone asked him. He just decided, "I'm making dinner." He made a chicken dinner the other day. And it was good. It was good. I'm proud of him for trying it, because guess what? I see him as his dad developing a talent that maybe God gave him. Proud of my wife. I'm going to embarrass her. She just decided to start doing some recruiting. She is good at making relationships. I think there's a great job for her. She's got a first success already. It's great. Trying some new things, developing some new talents. And she was nervous, you know, going in to meet with the person at this nursing home where she's trying to help, you know, place some people. Really nervous, but did it, and it went well. Built a relationship. My dad just told me the other day he got a job at Home Depot. By the way, it's his birthday. I'm so proud of my dad because, and it doesn't matter, a kid, middle-aged, maybe a little bit more seasoned, my dad decided just to get a job at Home Depot. And he told me yesterday, Dave, he's in the plumbing department. "You know, I thought I knew a lot about plumbing. One thing I just realized, I don't know anything about plumbing. But, you know," and he tells me this yesterday, "you know, I know more than I did last week." Maybe there's a talent there. We're going to have to build things in the millennium. Maybe someone in the millennium is going to come up and say, "Hey, Dave, how do I fix this? I got this little thing here. I'm looking for this part." And he'll know. I don't know. You get my point, though. Maybe it's just showing God that He can still develop talents. And if you can develop a little, "Well done, my faithful servant. You've shown that I can trust you to develop in a little. Now I'm going to give you a lot." It's never too late, brethren. It's never too late to try to find something you're good at, to try something new and to develop a talent. It takes a lot of work. You have to push through adversity. James chapter 1, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Trials and temptations and pushing through them is what develops us. There's this thing called homeostasis, brethren. Our bodies, I don't know if you know what homeostasis is. It's a biological, it's the way we're built. Our bodies want to stay in equilibrium. There's a driving force to keep things perfectly the same. But see, there's no growth there. You ever think about how your muscles grow? Your muscles grow by you forcefully pushing yourself out of equilibrium. You stretch your muscles. You destroy them through physical activity. And then that builds a new equilibrium for your body that requires your muscles to be bigger and stronger. Overcoming homeostasis is what provides growth biologically. I think it happens to us psychologically, mentally, spiritually as well. Pushing ourselves outside of our comfort zone, getting into new situations, that's what builds us, brethren. Everything that happens to you builds you. And it takes work. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul understood this. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, not focused on the past, past is over with, but reaching forth unto those things which are before, striving, reaching forth, trying to develop, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He presses forward toward the mark. In Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, we're told, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with might. Do it to the best of your ability. Do it with your strength. Why? I mentioned about the time is now. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither you go. We only have limited time to develop ourselves, to achieve excellence, brethren. The last thing I want to mention, brethren, is why. I mentioned a little bit of a hint. As a dad, it makes me so proud. I mentioned my family. I didn't mention my daughter, Allie. I need to mention her. No, I don't want to. She doesn't want me to. I'm so proud of her. You should see the things that she's developed, this talent. She's got balance like you wouldn't believe. She's one of those flyers in cheer, competitive cheer, where they throw her up and there's people holding her like this and she's standing on one foot with the other foot up on top in a perfectly pillar. She's doing a split like this, standing at the top of a human-made pyramid. I can't believe it. It's amazing to me. It's taken a lot of work. I'm so proud of that. I'm her dad. I'm proud of it. When I see my kids working hard and developing their talents, it just wells up in me. Think about God. How proud God is of us when He gives us a talent and then He sees us identify it, go to work, start to develop it, and strive to develop it to the best of our ability, whatever it is. We're told, brethren, that we should do all for the glory of God. Live our lives to glorify God. It's our reasonable service. Jesus Christ came and died for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 22, final scripture. 1 Corinthians 10, 22. First Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to feast, and you be disposed to go, whatsoever set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice, talking about what's offered to idols, be expedient is what he's talking about here. Do not eat for the sake that showed it in conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's in the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is that my liberty judged of another man's conscience? And this is the point, brethren. For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I gave thanks? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do it all for the glory of God. Why are we striving for excellence? Why do we want to develop our talents that God gave us? Because, brethren, it brings glory to God when we do it. what better way to honor our Father than to strive for excellence ourselves, develop those talents so that we can do more in the kingdom of God. As we approach Passover, let's examine ourselves, let's examine our lives, and ask ourselves, what are my talents? Do I know what they are? Am I doing anything with them? Am I developing them? Am I putting them to work, as James says? Do the work. What point is having them if you're not putting them to work and helping people? Are you making excuses of why you can't do things? Or are you just jumping in and embracing life and developing those talents? Commit yourselves, brethren, to focus on developing those things. Redeem the time. Don't waste time. Do it now. The time is now to get busy. And as you are preparing for the Passover and examining yourselves, put a plan in place, brethren. If you don't know what your talents are, then maybe just put a plan to go try some new things. Get some new experiences. If you do and you know what it is and say, you know what, maybe I should get back into that. Maybe I should start doing that a little bit more. Because if you develop those talents, brethren, whatever they are, maybe Jesus will say when he returns, and he says, what'd you do with what I gave you? And you can show him, he'll say, well done. Enter in to my joy.